New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1043, and it's the Relevant Podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, is Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, our managing editor, downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
I thought you was going to say me, bruh.
I thought you were going to go with
I was saving the best for last. Best for last. Oh, artist, okay. Producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
I forgot, Emily. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I got to share the pleasure of saying from Nashville.
Share the city.
You know what I'm saying?
We have a good show in store for you today. Coming to later, we talked to SEU Worship. They're part of this, like, we did an article this week at relevantmagazine.com kind of highlighting five new worship bands that you need to know about, and SEU was part of that. And there's just an exciting kind of new wave of worship coming up right now, and they are definitely in the throes, in the middle of that wave. So we talked to them coming up later. We're excited about that. Your feedback's at the end of the show, and we also have Relevant Buzz. But I think before we get going, we need to bring our group chat to the world. And we need to talk balloons.
It was active. It was active this weekend on Super Bowl Sunday.
It had nothing to do with the Super Bowl.
No. I mean, you know, a lot of the world woke up to you know, being excited about the Super Bowl. Not us. First thing, my little behind the curtain, my daughter has been, as listeners of the show know, I played my flu game. I had my flu game pod last week. That's working its way through the household. So my daughter was sick in the middle of the night on Saturday night. So I got up to help her. She's 7 years old. And I get back. I don't know about you guys, but if I'm up in the middle of the night, it's a while before I fall back asleep. I'm up for an hour or two, right? I can't just turn the light back off. So I start scrolling Twitter, reading the news, and I see that fighter pilots have shot down unidentified aerial objects over, you know, Canada, over a lake, you know, in Michigan.
And over Alaska.
You know, I become instantly fascinated. But there's a couple of things I want to talk about here, guys, before we get into what these objects are and kind of the speculation. This whole, thanks a lot, China, because now, ever since this balloon, everyone, it's all we're talking about now, is shooting stuff out of the sky, right? And it has just become, because that became such a, like a weird political thing, it's like, if we see anything in the sky, the answer is immediate, dispatch F-22s and blow it out of the sky with a missile. We all just saw Top Gun, right? The new Top Gun movie, Top Gun 2. Most of the movie was them planning for this mission. I would love a Top Gun 3 that is literally a 15 minute, and they call Maverick and they're like, we've got your most dangerous mission yet. He's like, I'm ready. We have a balloon that we want you to pop with a missile. And it's this, okay, what's the training? They're like, oh, there's no training. It's the size of like 8 school buses. It's almost impossible to miss. Like, you could shoot the missile in the general proximity, and just the wind of the missile will probably, it is so huge. It's actually a challenge to miss,
not hit it. Yeah.
With the balloon.
Yeah.
And most of the movie is just a montage of him high-fiving on the deck of the aircraft carrier after blowing that balloon out of the sky. What an anticlimactic mission if you're a fighter pilot. You're always going to be the one, it's like, hey, what was your best dogfight story? Well, I wasn't really a dogfight guy, but I popped like 4 balloons with missiles. Literal hellfire missiles. Okay. Against a giant balloon.
Okay, we're recording this on Wednesday. The show's going to come out on Friday. So maybe things will develop between now and then. But I do want to point out to the listeners some things that we've actually learned and shared with each other. So the China balloon. So the one question is, why have all of a sudden are we finding all this stuff in the sky? So the China balloon, obviously a few weeks ago, we know about. Well, when that happened, then the U.S. military broadened its radar. So our radar was, high altitude radar was just tuned for fast moving objects like planes and missiles. And when we saw the China balloon, which was moved so slowly, it was not detected by radar. They broadened the radar, and that's when they started seeing all these other objects, these other 3 balloons. But what's crazy is these other 3 since the China balloon are nothing like the China balloon and are not spy satellites from China. That's been confirmed by the military. They fly at a lower altitude. They are more like the size of a 4-wheeler versus this massive balloon that Jesse said is missable. the Chinese balloon flies at 60,000 feet. So I'm thinking balloon is just kind of floating mindlessly up in the sky. No, that balloon had propulsion. It could go left, right, up, down, and could stop and loiter over a spot. They could control it. These other little metal four-wheeler sized things are dumb and they just float with the air. They can't be, there's no propulsion on them. So they're totally different things and nobody knows what they are. I mean, they could be weather balloons. They could be like research balloons from a university or something like that. But you think if they were, the university would have said something like, hey, quit popping our balloons, you know? So like,
well, or it's some garage project, you know what I mean? From just like a little father and son, but they're showing up weather balloons.
But they're finding them over Uruguay's airspace. And China says that they found some over China's airspace. So it's like, what are these metal four-wheeler sized things that have
y'all
no propulsion?
Y'all already know what they are. Y'all already know.
I think
they're
just from someone's birthday party that the balloons flew off and like they couldn't catch
it. What four-wheeler sized balloon? Maybe it was a gender reveal. And it just
the aliens told y'all. They said we sick of it. They said we sick of it. We let y'all borrow the planet for
alien
a couple
balloons?
Bro, we let y'all borrow the planet for a couple thousand years. I come back, y'all done made a mess of the whole thing. So they got their little four-wheeler things, their little things that they use to just research us. They dropped them all around the planet and then they just looking. And then we just shot them down. That's an act of war. Now Zordon is on his way with the strap. And it's not a game. So, enjoy yourself. Live free. Be happy.
Listen, if this is the alien invasion that we've all been waiting on, and it's just a bunch of balloons, not too bad, guys. I think we really dodged a bullet. I feel like we have a very festive race of aliens that have come to visit us. You know, it's not as bad as the movies. If the alien invasion movies were just a bunch of balloons falling and letting us shoot us down, like it's like a carnival game, like darts and balloons. Like this is fun. They're playing with us here. You know, one of the disturbing things is one of the missiles that they shot missed initially. And I saw a story. They're like,
it's going to come down somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, that fighter pilot's like, ready, aim, fire. And he's like sitting there.
Reload.
We don't have any weapon in the arsenal that isn't a $500,000 gigantic missile that we could shoot a four-wheeler size balloon with. Like, we don't have anything slightly smaller.
You just walk up and pop, just pop that bug with a needle.
Yeah. My thing is just fly by it and let the wing clip it and pop it. I mean, like, boop, you know, you don't need to waste. Anyway, I'm very curious.
Or
what
you do when you're a kid and like your ball gets stuck in the tree. Just throw a football at it. Like, I just want to see someone riding on the wing of a fighter jet. That's the
just
next.
Just lean out of the window.
That's the next Top Gun. Tom Cruise, no shirt, strapped to the wing of a fighter jet with a football, and he just.
So it's one of those biplanes where like he's out on the wing, like in the 1920s. Okay,
isn't it amazing though how politics made this such a crazy thing? It was like, yo, Joe Biden's like, hey, we're studying it. Everybody's like, yo, we're studying it. We want to make sure we shoot it down. We don't want to shoot it down over populated places. Now, and everybody was like, oh, if it was me, I would have shot it with a machine gun. Da 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 da. Now it's like anything in the sky that is not marked correctly, like, you're getting shot down. So I'm just saying, like, look, if you got your prop plane or whatever, you better make sure you put an American flag on the side of it, because that thing is in dire straits right now, bro. Like, you know, you better slap an American flag on the side of that mug, because I'm telling you, we not playing no more. We not playing with ET. We not playing with Chinese balloons. We're not even playing with regular balloons. I believe if you let some regular balloons up too high into the sky, they shooting them down too. So just letting you know, the block is hot.
You know what? You know what's like? The thing that baffles me is that these things were so dumb, our radar didn't detect them, right? All of this was existing invisibly. We had no idea. It's like the military went into a bad motel room with a black light and turned off the lights and then saw what was really going on in the room that we couldn't see with our naked eye. You know what I mean? Brought in the radar and all of a sudden there's balloons everywhere, you know?
But instead of cleaning solution, instead of like the aviation version of cleaning solution of like, you know, kind of pushing them out. It's like, we got to blow them up with missiles.
With missiles.
Don't ask questions. If you see something, blow it up with a missile.
Is there footage of this stuff getting blown up? I kind of, at least, can we at least get the footage?
The China balloon, there is footage. There's footage of the big one.
I'm talking about these other things that got shot down. Is there any footage of those?
I haven't seen a picture of them. They describe them as like jelly bean shaped. Oh yeah, octagon shape. That's what it was. Octagon shape, size of a four wheeler, smaller than a car. They're metal looking, and they have no propulsion. They just kind of float there at 40,000 feet. They don't see any sort of like devices connected to them, or whereas with the China balloon, they could see the surveillance.
I bet
equipment.
It's Elon Musk. Elon Musk probably got some stuff. That's like SpaceX, the first one. And he just left it up there.
Trying to get to Mars in a balloon.
He just left it up there.
Can I be honest? Oh, that's where I left it. I left a couple advanced weird metal cylinders somewhere.
Oh, now, I left it in Uruguay. I left it in Uruguay.
I'll be honest. When I saw the video, there's one video of the Chinese balloon getting shot down that was taken from like a cell phone that looks like someone on the beach. Like you can see it, you know? Watching the video of that Chinese balloon getting blown out of the sky, I wanted to start cheering USA right there. I felt extremely patriotic.
USA,
like this 4th of July, USA. I was at the Washington Nationals game during the 4th of July last past year, and they did like fireworks and they played like a very patriotic video of like, you know, you have like Mount Rushmore, you have soldiers like coming home, you have like, you know, slow-mo American flag. This year, there better be a couple clips of that balloon coming down, and you know the stadium.
America. And that's the audio behind it.
It was the most patriotic.
Sire Grace, yep.
America. And it's just multiple shots of that Chinese balloon just getting blown out of the sky with a missile.
Speaking of patriotism, I don't think America has been more patriotic in years other than Chris Stapleton's national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Undeniable.
I mean, grown men bawling. The coach crying. Everybody was crying.
I ain't gonna lie. That was a little far.
I think we fly Stapleton up there. I think we put Stapleton in the fighter jet.
That was worship.
And he sings the national anthem as he shoots down a balloon.
The hair blowing in the wind. Yeah.
It was worship of what? Country?
It was worship of something. Whatever they was thinking in their mind. Like, I ain't crying. Like, look, bruh. Hey, now, first of all, I know I'm cracking jokes, but the coach for Philly, he said, now this is why I'm going to give him a pass. Now, the other dude, I think it was Kelsey. I don't know if I can give him a pass.
Yeah, Kelsey.
But I'm going to get a coach a pass because he said he dreamed of that day and he would listen to the Whitney Houston national anthem rendition all the time. So for me, I'm like, okay, the context behind that made all the sense in the world. It's like, okay, you in the moment. It's not about that. Kelsey, I don't know. My man was worshiping. He might have, look, but here's the thing. The way Chris Stapleton sung the song, it literally could have been a gospel song. Like, it could have been a gospel song. Dude. It could have been a song about your significant other. Like, that had a lot of sauce on the national anthem. I found myself standing up in my living room on top of the table. You know what I'm saying? I don't got no American flag in the crib, but I was standing on my table.
Dude.
It was fire.
That's what I'm saying. Next,
it was so fun to be watching, like, Twitter discover Chris Stapleton, like Black Twitter in particular. Mm-hmm. Like, holy cow, this dude is sold. This dude in country, you know, like it was great, man. He was awesome.
The next Chinese balloon, I'm telling you, it's a fighter jet with no glass top. It's just convertible. He doesn't have the flight suit or the helmet. He's just got a pair of Ray-Bans.
So he's going to suffocate?
Yes. He'll be all right. You're only up there. I mean, it's a balloon, man. You can go up, come right back down. You can hold your breath. But
I thought the point was so that he could sing.
I mean, you could. He will sing on the way down on his victory lap. You know,
he's doing
the Blue Angels would join him, and he will be. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is USA donuts. He's going to write USA and then do a bunch of
like
donuts.
Like those smoke planes
jet.
And the skywriting planes. Wow. Stapleton will be in a skywriting plane to shoot down the Chinese balloon, and he will fly in the pattern that says USA.
This is a crazy visual I just had in my head. Like, I'm just going to let y'all know. So wow.
He's going to bring
everyone
together.
So we're putting him in one of the Jetsons cars is what you're saying. Like a Jetsons car. He's going to go up there. He's going to heavily armed car from the Jetsons. He's gonna go up there and just blow the balloons up.
His hair blowing in the wind, you know, and we're all just on the shore, just get that balloon, you know, light it up.
Can you imagine being in the Air Force and like that is the ultimate thing that you have to go do is like shoot balloons down? Like that's your duty, that's your route.
Hey,
like
you're on balloon country.
Patrol
for a country.
I would love to be like one of the like Skunk Works or DARPA, one of those like advanced like weapon things, and like, guys, we got a brand new weapon in the American arsenal, and it's a long broomstick with a nail on the end. Like it's for
like a javelin.
We got the robot dogs. Now we got now we have broom with nail tape to the end for the book stick with the nail at the end.
Wow. All right, well, there you go. Let's move the show along. Let's talk about some other news. Stay tuned. Up next, it's Relevant Buzz. She's getting high again. It's a long way through the night. She's going wild, my friend. She's a rocket in the sky. We can make it together. All the things you remember, we can make it together. All the things you remember. You're listening to Munya. The song is Cocoa Beach. Little fun fact, Cocoa Beach, not a great beach. It's 30 miles from my house, and it doesn't even have like sand. It's like its sand is like crunched up shells. It's like, ugh. Anyway, much better beaches around here than Cocoa Beach. Munya, why'd you write that?
The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music.
Okay, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
All right, tell us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week, Emily.
All right. I feel like we have to start talking with the Asbury University campus revival. Are you guys aware of this? Have you been following it at all?
It's been going on for a month, right?
I've seen some news, yeah.
It's been like a week.
It's been quite a month. Right. It's been about a week and a half.
Yeah. Like we said, we're recording February 15th. It started February 8th, so it's been going on for nonstop for a week now. For any listeners that don't know, Asbury University is a private Christian university in Kentucky. And for, at the time of this recording, 133 hours now, they have been having nonstop worship, praise, just revival happening on campus. It's been shared on social media. A lot of people from different places all over the country are starting to like come. It hasn't slowed down yet. And, you know, we don't really know where it's going now, but it is interesting to see just on social media. There's been a lot of really cool eyewitness accounts too. I actually want to read one of them from a student who attends the university, Alexandra Presta. She's the editor of the student paper, and her just account of it is really cool. She said, "Peers, professors, local church leaders, and seminary students surround me, all of them praying, worshiping, and praising God together. Voices are ringing out. People are bowing at the altar, arms stretched wide. A pair of friends cling to each other in a hug, one with tears in her eyes. A diverse group of individuals crowd the piano and flawlessly switch from song to song. Some even sit like me with laptops open. No one wants to leave."
Wow. I heard it's also, it's now starting to spread. We're getting word that like it, same thing is happening at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, and rumblings of it sparking at other universities as well, which is really, really cool.
And this was pretty organic, right?
Like, yeah, it was just a chapel service. It was literally a chapel service that had a altar call for repentance and stuff. And a bunch of students went up, and during that time of prayer, the worship team started playing, and the student congregation started worshiping, and they just felt, you know, the reports we're hearing is they really felt the Holy Spirit, just kind of the Holy Spirit's presence in that place. And so the worship continued and the prayer time continued. And now a week later, it hasn't stopped 24 hours a day.
This is the kind of stories I'm glad we get to cover. Like, I'm glad that we're getting these, because I feel like we constantly have so much bad news that, you know, the news of people just 24 hours just worshiping God, you know what I'm saying? And and I'm sure people are having great emotional experiences and living on the high. And then now the idea of it spreading, like, that's beautiful. And I think we need things like that to happen. We need God. We need God right now, because it's been a dark, dark, dark couple years. I'm thankful for any light that we get. So praise the Lord.
Yeah. And I love that it's starting with like college students too. And you know, because like we've talked about so many times, just the future of the church with the younger generation, there's a lot of ups and downs. And so to see that this is starting with the next generation, these kids in their 20s, who just don't want to stop worshiping and are just wanting to keep this going. It's been really cool to see on social media just the way that people have shared videos and talked about their personal experiences that have gone.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing, I'm the staff historian because we've been doing this a long time. And so Emily and I were talking about this, like, obviously this isn't new. Revival has happened a lot, but like Relevant was birthed out of something like this that was happening from like the mid 90s to the late 2000s. Like, there was like revivals going on that people heard about, like the Toronto Blessing, Brownsville Revival and stuff like that. And like, I remember going to Toronto when I was in college and just traveling there, 'cause we heard God was moving and we wanted to see it for ourselves. And at the hotel, like, there was like groups of college students and like that had like just like, I'm talking to them, like they hopped in a van. They you know, you're from Indianapolis, they're from Seattle, they're from Florida. And like they just heard God was moving and they just got their friends and they got in a van and just came. And like that's starting to be happening at Asbury. Like we're hearing the same rumblings of like people just showing up from other places. And then it's like God moves, impacts their lives, and then they kind of take it back to their towns and stuff. And it's like, that's how revival spreads. And like, literally, I'm talking about like Relevant was like birthed out of it. At the Toronto one is where the Lord, I mean, I don't want to over spiritualize it, but like I was praying for vision and calling and the Lord gave me the idea for Relevant. And I literally on the hotel nightstand pad wrote down the business plan for Relevant. And like it was birthed there. And so like, and then in the 2000s, there was a big college movement of like 24/7 prayer. Relevant's first cover story in our print magazine 2003 was of Pete Gregg and the 24/7 prayer movement that was happening in London. And these prayer rooms were happening everywhere. That's where Sean Foyt got his start in Tulsa, doing like 24/7 prayer rooms. And like there was like this college movement in the early 2000s of prayer and intercession and worship revival that was truly happening. And a lot of universities and a lot of churches started doing 24/7 prayer rooms, like as an outgrowth of that for 7, 8, 9 years. It was like a real movement. It was interesting because that movement was happening in tandem with like the emergent movement, like kind of deconstruction and stuff. And so it was like Relevant had this foot in both worlds. It was a really interesting time that the 2000s. And then it's like, nothing's really, we haven't heard much about that in the last decade because I feel like faith has become so partisan and everything's changed, you know? And it's like, so for this like organic thing to be sparking again is just so exciting for me because like we, like Derek said, need a reset. The church needs a reset. And if this is organically happening at the college movement and college level, like it's, I just hope that this is a spark of a flame that spreads widely, you know?
Well, and two, it's to your point, it's organic. And, you know, we kind of talked about maybe not a dry spell, but it's been a while since I think something like this has entered sort of like the cultural religious zeitgeist, you know, an event like this, but it's also not being like commodified or anything. It's not like, hey, you can pay tickets for this tour date or this revival is going to break or whatever. And I'm not bashing any one thing or another, but I'm just saying this isn't something that seems like there's like a plan or strategy behind it. It seems extremely earnest, which I think is a really positive thing.
The other thing that's really unique about this one is all the stuff I was just talking about from 15, 20 years ago was more birthed out of the charismatic stream, you know, like Bethel and IHOP and that stream, you know. And this, if you watch any of the video, is very Baptist. And the people talking about it, Ed Stetzer's and other kind of Baptist, prominent Baptist pastors and stuff, are talking about revival. And the stuff that was happening 15, 20 years ago really didn't jump over into the Baptist stream. It really kind of stayed more on the charismatic side of things. And so like that is really fascinating to me, is that this is being birthed out of the non-charismatic stream, which, hey, many streams, but one river. Mm-hmm. You know, I love what God's doing. And but it's like, that is what's unique to me about this, is that this isn't typically a church stream that talks about revival, you know? So, yay. I mean, I think it's awesome.
For sure.
Cool. What else you got?
Very much switching gears, but I know we've talked a lot about the economy and wages and things like that, but there is a crazy new study that came up from Zillow. Eggs.
Huh? Are you going to talk about Taylor Swift not knowing that eggs are expensive from the Listen, Grammys?
If we could just have the entire time to talk about Taylor Swift, you know I would do it. what Cameron and I are talking about, for people that may not know, is there was a joke at the Grammys a few weeks ago about from Trevor Noah telling Taylor Swift like to get the Swifties on the price of eggs, and she was kind of like, okay, whatever.
Like the clip is like she has no clue that eggs are expensive, like, and everybody's like, she's so out of touch. Anyway, that's not what this piece is about.
I mean, if you had all the money she had, you could like I told you, she got eggs.
Buy all the eggs you want.
I don't blame her for being out of touch. You know what I'm saying?
She's been hoarding eggs for decades, for most of her career out. This is not a surprise. She's a big egg person.
Did it come out that she, out of all the celebrities, like they track the planes and she uses her private plane more than any other pop culture celebrity? Like she'll fly to go to the Whole Foods and get eggs in her private jet. You know, like she uses it for everything.
Again, look, I'm trying to tell y'all, God has not blessed me with the Tay Tay money because I be a fool.
Yet.
Like, I don't lie.
Here's the most concerning part about that story. It's been underreported. She converted that jet to run on egg yolks a while back. And
that's the shortage. That's causing the shortage.
Now it's a whole thing.
You know, everybody's saying that it's the avian flu that's killing all the chickens. It's not. It's her aviation. People are getting it wrong. It's aviation. Taylor Swift's aviation is creating the egg shortage.
At the time, she thought she was doing the right thing for climate change by not burning fossil fuels. Eggs were, you couldn't go anywhere without stepping over eggs. I mean, you boil dozens of them at Easter just to paint them.
So you're saying she flies her plane so much that by you converting it to egg fuel, she tried to do the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, she's basically doing egg souffles, flying around most of the United States day to day, and causing big problems down here on Earth.
You know? Anyway, the economy. What's going on, Emily?
It physically pains me to hear Taylor Swift slander. Yes, the economy, not caused by Taylor Swift. No, this new report from Zillow is equally as crazy as the egg thing. Zillow found that it takes nearly 4 full-time minimum wage workers to afford a 2-bedroom apartment. So if you want to live in a 2-bedroom apartment and you make minimum wage, you need either 3 roommates or you need to have full-time jobs, or 4 full-time jobs.
Four full-time jobs.
Yeah.
To afford a standard
2-bedroom apartment.
Average rent rate at the 30% measure, that your housing cost isn't more than 30% of your income.
Yeah.
You have to have 4 income. So that means that the standard rent is more than a full annual salary if you make minimum wage. It's just crazy. So like the affordability crisis.
And obviously it depends on what city you live in and stuff. But I mean, on average, it's if you make minimum wage if you hire in a 2-bedroom apartment, you're going to have 3 roommates. So, and that means you're also sharing.
But that's just like normal cities.
You're like a fully grown adult.
I heard the same study for Austin, Texas, specifically, is you have to have 6 roommates.
Yeah.
Like the average apartment in Austin is so much more than minimum wage there.
Mm-hmm. Nashville, too. You come out here. Nashville, especially for the people that are natives, we're not used to paying these numbers. Like these were numbers you would hear in like Chicago or,
Well, I mean, LA. When I was looking for an apartment, I have a full-time salary job. I'm making more than minimum wage. I was still kind of having to be really cautious about places I was living because there were so many places that it was like, I can't afford to live there. And it's like, I have a very good paying job. And it's like, if I'm struggling to find a place and like having to look in all these places, someone who, for whatever reason can only get like a minimum wage job, I don't know how they're like finding homes. Like, I don't know how they're able to afford any of this.
Well, thankfully there may be some relief in sight for, you know, the housing shortage, just because like new development right. basically ceased at the beginning of the pandemic when all the supply chain stuff started. And then when interest rates were raised to kind of stave off inflation, it discouraged new home buying. And so, you know, basically the real estate market just froze. And when that happens, you know, the supply completely freezes, even though nothing really happened. The demand is still right. there. But it does look like, you know, now that interest rates are leveling off and, you know, builders are one more likely to borrow, but also the supply chain has been, you know, like you can actually purchase lumber and supplies right now. It does look like hopefully in the next year or so, there'll be some easing so that, you know, mm-hmm. there's some more affordable houses out there.
Yeah, but they're not saying that rent rates are going to go down anytime soon. Like this is just the new norm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's yeah. going to be like wages need to catch up sort of a thing. But
it's either going to be wages need to catch up or people are going to have to start losing properties. Like it's mm-hmm. it's one or the other, that we either yeah. raise wages or stuff gets so bad that all of these people that have, like I saw a dude in Phoenix had 95 Airbnbs and was wondering why more than half of them were not rented during the Super Bowl. And I'm like, bro, first of all, you got 95 Airbnbs. I'm all up for capitalism, but come on, big dog. If you want to know why people can't get a house, it's because this man got 95 Airbnbs and nobody's using right now. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's what caused the housing crisis in the last 3 years, is that investment bankers came in, investment groups came in and bought up all the open housing supply and then jacked up the prices to flip them and things like that to make money for their shareholders. And so like it priced out average consumers. And the same thing's happening with the rent, with apartments. These apartments are being built by or bought up by major investment groups, hedge funds and stuff like that. And they have to have a certain return and yield. So that's why they're pushing rates up 30% a year and stuff like that, because like it's not like a landlord anymore. It's like yeah. major hedge funds.
Blackstone,
stuff like that. And that's what's changed in the real estate market mm-hmm. in the last several years. It's like, because people were making so much money over the last 5-6 years flipping houses and house prices were going up, then investors came in. Now, my hope is that with the apartment prices and housing stuff like freezing up, investors will get less interested, try to offload those mm-hmm. properties back to landlords mm-hmm. and like, you know, get out of the market, you know, so things can like get back mm-hmm. to normal, but not likely. So you got to just make a lot of friends and have a lot of roommates if you're a minimum wage worker right now. That's sad.
Or look at a career in being a fighter jet pilot. Looks like there's going to be a big boom in that profession, especially if you're a deadeye, because considering one of our main pilots missed the balloon first shot, look, I feel like we auditioned in the next round of recruits here. I saw Top Gun. Should not be that hard.
And I'm going to say, avoid hot air balloon jobs. Like, don't take anybody up on a hot air balloon.
Can you imagine right now?
if
can you imagine somebody's up there right like they rented a hot air balloon to like propose or something right. at Twilight? Day. Oh my gosh.
And they get shot down. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yo.
Or just some random like Billy Bob with his like season up there, like, and he's kind of like launch stuff at it.
He's like, I'm protecting right America.
Yeah,
he's not.
I'm protecting America. That's a Chinese hot air balloon. I ain't taking no chances.
Hey, you just better make sure it's not like a white balloon with weird writing. Make sure it's the multicolored rainbow balloon. Like we all know, multicolored. You don't feel good about the chances with the multicolored rainbow balloon.
Look, balloon fever swept the country. Okay. Yeah. I mean, people on the ground are going to be throwing rocks at you. Okay. Much less fighter jets. Just stay out of the sky for a couple weeks. Just let this thing cool down.
The black is hot. You know, the black is hot.
All right. What's the last thing you have, Emily?
Last thing I want to talk about, is actually a really cool story. There is, this Disney star named Joshua Bassett. He's 22 years old. He is a singer-songwriter.
What's he been in?
He's been on, give me a second to say all this, High School Musical, The Musical, The Series. It was a show on Disney Plus.
Okay.
He was the main actor.
Jesse's a big fan of that.
Oh, obviously.
I felt like it was right up your lane.
We met his, Emily, we met his other stuff. We knew that one.
Yeah, yeah, obviously.
Okay, so Joshua Bassett. Now, I will say this. When Emily and I were talking about the rundown before the show, I was like, I don't know. I mean, this guy's kind of a Disney star. Does anybody know who he is? And Emily goes, he's the ex-boyfriend that Olivia Rodrigo wrote her entire album about. Mm. I was like, he's the drive down license. Your street guy? Yeah. Wow. And she's like, yeah, that's the guy, because they were both Disney stars together and they dated when they did the show. Mm. I was like, okay, it makes the show then. If he's the ex.
He's the driver's. I feel bad that he's kind of only known for that because he has his own stuff, but it's like, no, you're the driver's license boy. Like, we know that.
Hey, that's what she get, yeah, right? They shouldn't have broke her heart.
Yeah, now she's driving down your street all alone. What kind of jerk are you?
Side note, before we go any further, I love that pop stars are doing diss tracks. Like, you know, it was one thing that was kind of just for rappers at one point in time, battle rap, but pop diss tracks from pop stars, I love it. All right.
They got some good ones.
But the problem is like, everything is game now. Like somebody, like Jake Gyllenhaal is out here catching strays because it's like, wait, is that Taylor Swift song about him? I don't know about this guy.
Look, that's, you
know,
how it's it like, is. 50 Cent and Ja Rule, man. They should have, they opened up a can and it's what it is.
I like the idea that
Taylor 50 Cent, Swift Ja Rule. And Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah. 50 Cent influenced.
There's a direct line from 50 Cent and Ja Rule to Taylor Swift and then Olivia Rodrigo to Jason or Joshua Bassett, who we're about to tell you about.
That's what I'm saying.
But there's dudes like John Mayer who every time Taylor Swift released music, he's like, oh boy, here we go.
He's the worst one of her exes. I will say that forever. He's absolutely the worst one. So he deserves.
According to her. According to the perspective of her.
Have you ever heard Dear John?
He's gotten sober. He's a different person now.
Again,
let people grow.
And two, you're only hearing one side. I'm not. Listen, please, listeners. I have no horse in this race. There's very few things I could care
about. Throw on a Mob Deep instrumental and let Tay Tay rock over that. That's what I'm trying to hear. I'm trying to hear her rock over some 90s Wu-Tang Clan, and she just go crazy on Cream. Like just let Taylor just destroy John Mayer over an Alchemist beat. I love it.
Do I have some songs for you?
Dude, have you followed the IG account, There I Messed It Up or something like that? Where this guy takes like what you're talking about, like Wu-Tang tracks with like pop songs and like mixes them and like you watch his sound waves.
Oh, he's getting a follow right now.
Yeah, dude, it's so funny. I found it because of Questlove. Like he finally did a Roots track. And so Questlove was like, it's my favorite account and whatever. So I started following it. You'll love it. Anyway, what is the Joshua Bassett news?
Listen to Should've, Could've, Would've, and you'll understand why people don't like John Mayer. Anyways, back to Joshua Bassett. This has nothing to do with his career. He actually became a Christian recently. Sort of at the beginning of the year, he kind of started posting on social media just some things about, clearly he was going on some sort of faith journey. And then on Monday he posted a video. He got baptized at Bethel. Had just some really powerful stuff to say. We actually have the video. If you want to play it, Jason.
My name is Joshua, and long story short, I grew up Christian and I ran the other way as far as I could go in pursuit of truth.
To and that Olivia only ended Rodriguez. In
addiction, depression, suicidal ideation, eating disorders, etc. And no other teacher gave me anywhere near the peace that Jesus Christ did.
That's right. All right. Shondo. Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to publicly declare him as my Lord and Savior. That's
right. Let's go. Hey, look, if I got dissed by Olivia Rodrigo, yeah, I'd probably be a Christian too. But get this by a pop star, gotta be the hardest thing
to
swallow.
Jailhouse religion.
Oh,
you lose it all, you're on your knees. Like, then you find God.
Oh, yeah, I'm finding God. Bro, I'll find a guy.
Joshua hit bottom, found Jesus because of Olivia's diss track. Bro, that's amazing. Yeah. Hey, good for him. Nah, welcome to the family, Joshua.
Much love, Joshua.
And I just love that he's very like, I mean, he has like millions of followers, especially, and a lot of young followers too. So
yeah,
kind of like what we were saying, like it seems like there might be something in this next generation that something's stirring. We'll see.
Let's see. All right, well, you can watch that video and there's a whole lot more that we're covering every day over at relevantmagazine.com. Make sure to check it out. Make it part of your daily web browsing. All right. Thanks, Emily. All right. Stay tuned. Up next, SCU Worship joins us.
Look, so what?
So what?
Goofy, yeah, he chose us.
He chose.
I got no luck. God's son showed up in the whip.
cross on my back, pat on my neck. Who wanna go up?
He chose.
Act like you know.
He chose.
Act like you know. My brother in Christ, you wrong. What kind of time you want? Tell me whose side you on. Someone should write your songs. My motto is Jesus in therapy, so I don't need a bottle to carry me. He blessed me with a model, she married me. Only hobby is blocking you Pharisees.
You're listening to John Keith and No Big Deal. The song is Chose.
Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today.
Our guest today is Daniel Rivera from SEU Worship. They're an emerging worship collective from Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida. They've been creating some exciting new music, so we sat down with them to discuss what the team's doing and their mission for reaching this generation of the church. Here's our conversation with Daniel Rivera.
What are some things you've noticed about this generation? Like both the things they're struggling with and the things that they're passionate about.
Wow.
Yeah. Easy question. I know.
it's something we think about and talk about a lot. You know, I'm 31 and all of our college students are 18 to 22 year olds basically. Mm-hmm. And, I love aging out as a millennial. It's like really funny like that. It's really refreshing for me for people to be talking about a new generation because I was like tired of getting picked on as a millennial. And there's a lot I want to say about Gen Z. I'm kind of stalling right now thinking about what I want to say about our batch of students, but you asked specifically what they're struggling with. I think one of the things they're struggling with is authentic peer-to-peer relationships that have appropriate boundaries and that aren't purely surface and digital. So that's kind of been fun for us to navigate with the team up close and personal. Like, okay, so how do I be in community and relationship with people? And because that's kind of the beauty of the kingdom of God is that we know one another, we bear, you know, each other's burdens and all that stuff, right? So it's like that community piece is so rich and wonderful to watch them walk through. I think another thing they're struggling with is kind of where they fit in to the plan as of right now when it comes to the church at large. And specifically, I'm talking about artists right now because Gen Z is just the most, I'm so excited by our youngs. I'm just so excited by our college students. They're so creative. They're so smart and their output is crazy. So one of the classic sociological differentiators between millennials and Gen Z is that millennials are, we digest a lot, right? Like, so we're consumers is the word. We consume a lot of content, we invented binge watching. But then for Gen Z, it'd be creators. Like they don't actually just look at their iPhone as something or whatever, their device, whatever that is, as something to consume content, but then to create content. And in my office, this conversation came up actually yesterday, really funny. Like I was commenting to one of our staff who's a part-time student worker. You know, he just turned 21 yesterday. And we were talking about the 10-year gap between us and generational differences. And I said, like, it still throws me off that at any moment you guys will just pull out your phone and make a video as if like I constantly forget that my phone can make quality video. Like, I just think of it like that. It's a place I go to do email or text, you know what I mean? And it's like, they think of it as a creator kind of tool for them at all times. And so social media for them is more than just a place to digest content. It's a place to really be and kind of exist and to create and make things. So it's fun to watch how all that stuff integrates. I think the takeaways for me is that we're not doing nearly enough in those spaces and social media to really reach them and to show that there are good ways to, I don't know, exist and be kingdom people in that space.
Ways breathe upon my faith. There's a place where there are no limits and you won't relent.
What can the church do to make sure that we are not only reaching those students in those places, but encouraging them as well?
I think a big piece is giving them the keys earlier than they deserve it. Like, let them have access to the login of your Instagram, like, you know, like the youth Instagram account, the church Instagram account. Like, just be radical delegators of all that stuff and let them loose. And, you know, it's all, you can always take something down if you don't like it. Like, sure. Just let them, like, I've loved doing that. You know, I've loved letting people kind of loose and letting them take a peek at what it could look like. I think for us, we feel very much like we have to still think about content as this, like, oh, it has to be so polished and put together. But one of the reasons I think, like, TikTok or Instagram or any of these have been so, I don't know, effective in the next, with that next gen piece, is that they are so casual and it's so invitational that way. And in some ways, that kind of reflects more of our spirituality anyway, shouldn't it? Right? Like, mm-hmm. Actually, if you turn the camera on right now, are you the person that you would be if you could? So, and to this point, back to my conversation I was having with our student worker yesterday. His name's Josiah. And Josiah goes, the most millennial thing you do, Dan, is you do the millennial pause. Have you heard about the millennial pause?
Oh gosh, when
you
make a video? But now I'm going to be hyper aware of it. What is it?
The millennial pause is whenever we start recording, there's like a 2-second pause. We go, hey, yeah. Like we make sure it's recording. And he's like, literally, I never do that. I just push record and start talking. And I'm like, that's so funny. But that's like us. Like, it's like, I want to make sure it's working. And
yeah.
And I mean, they just literally plug and play, make it go, push. It's not necessarily about, and this is the piece that I think is most helpful probably, is that it's not about the product itself as much as it's about, is it authentically you? And if it's authentically you over the course of time, then people will gravitate towards that, because more and more you can see through the polish and you just want to get to the heart of something, you know? And it's funny, we'll do like, we'll spend a day in the studio and make these really cool choreographed, you know, videos and put them on social media. But the ones that work the best are when we're like, just throw the camera up there. Let's just do it really like in this, you know, I don't know, hallway, whatever. That stuff does the best. And I think the authenticity piece is what it's about.
How do you feel like having, you know, because I feel like every year you're always adding these like new voices to your team, like as new students come in. So like, how does that newness affect like the creative process and like the music that you're putting out?
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. Well, first of all, the new voices, especially the young people, they don't let you get away with non-cool stuff at all.
A blessing and a curse. Yeah.
Oh, it's so humbling. I love it. Like, you know, you'll do something and then they just look at you and you're like, oh, that wasn't it, was it? They're like, no, back to the drawing board, Pastor Dan. I'm like, okay, back to the drawing board. Let's go. And so I love that part. And then the new voices, it honestly just inspires me. I think a huge piece, we have this conversation all the time, is like, we have to learn how to kind of get out of the way for the next generation. It's so easy as things grow to be like, become a gatekeeper. And for all of us, we're just constantly having that conversation of, we got to pass this on. We got to keep on bringing more people into the fold. We got to keep on, like, this thing has to feel like a river, not a lake. It can't all deposit into a thing. It's got to feel like the river's just getting wider and wider and more stuff's coming through it and through it and through it. And so it's just a huge cultural piece for us. I know it wouldn't fit everywhere, but it fits for us to kind of have this element of always bringing in new people. So the positives of it are the creative piece. Like, it's always, always inspiring us, bringing in fresh ideas, fresh perspectives, fresh insights. And then the kind of like kingdom ministry part of it that's really cool is there's this natural sort of Paul Timothy mentoring thing that happens of, now I get to be with students that are trying to figure this out. And if I'm doing it right, if we're doing it right as a staff, then we're actually helping them to answer the questions that would have been stumbling blocks in some ways for us to try and get to a more mature version of our ministry. And it's just fun. We love it. It's super rewarding. Not without its challenges, because it's certainly easy. I mean, it's certainly easier just to bring the vets together and make it happen. But when we go this model of kind of like, we're always trying to rope in the next generation, we're always trying to hand it off and still kind of keep that, like, both and, you know, the mentoring and the up and coming, it's just, we just find it to be so rewarding. And I feel like God smiles on it, honestly, and breathes on it, because it just, it kind of forces us into a rhythm that I think is actually just really kingdom.
That was Daniel Rivera. If you like what you heard and you want to check out some other kind of emerging worship bands that we're excited about, check out, just head over to relevantmagazine.com and check out the article we did a couple days ago, five new worship groups you need to know. They're highlighted in there, as well as some other great ones. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's your feedback. You're listening to Wallace. The song is Funeral.
Well, Relevant has a lot happening this year, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Make sure to sign up for our newsletter right there on the front page at relevantmagazine.com, and we'll send you our top five trending stories into your inbox every weekday. We'll also send you a weekly podcast newsletter with the latest episodes, some fan extras, and first peeks at the new shows that we're going to be rolling out throughout this year. Make sure to sign up. It's the best way to keep in touch with everything we got going on.
Okay, it's time for your feedback. Last week, we got talking about the fact that because the cost of living is so high, Emily clearly moved into a Home Goods, looking at her back wall. No, she didn't move into a Home Goods. She decorated her apartment, and it got us talking about Home Goods and impulse buying and buying weird things like Jesse's rain sticks and things like that. So we asked you, what's the weirdest item you've ever impulsively bought while you were out shopping? You hit us up at Relevant Podcast on Twitter, and here's a few.
Yo, it's some doozies on here, bro. I ain't gonna even lie. Hey, Noah Hodge, why did you buy pumpkin spice goat cheese? I'm trying to understand.
I'll be honest, that actually sounds kind of good.
No, it does not. What? Emily Brown.
What?
No. I would. Here's the thing.
Would you put it like on a cracker?
Well, yeah, I'm not just going to eat a chunk of goat cheese by itself.
What does it taste like on a cracker? Like a gram? Like, that sounds disgusting.
Listen, I love a good charcuterie board. I feel like that would be a great piece to add. And then you get a little taste and stuff.
That
so.
Is a charcuterie board. See? That's what that's going to be. Charcuterie is what that is.
Pumpkin spice goat cheese on a charcuterie board is like that random cherry chocolate in the box of chocolates. And you bite into it and you're like, crap, I got the cherry one. You get the cheese, the pumpkin spice goat cheese. And you're
it's the equivalent of, I remember I used to have buddies that when we would go after like basketball practice to like, we'd go to like a Ruby Tuesday sometimes to get the salad bar.
Oh yeah.
You know, remember when Ruby Tuesdays had a legit salad bar?
Oh yeah.
And it was all you can eat. And they'd be, we would have that person in the group that'd be like, hey man, just fill me up a plate and bring it back. Mm. You know, because they didn't want to pay for the salad bar. It was all you can eat, you know, little salad bar shenanigan there. Well, the prank was you would go get the pudding at the end, get a nice base layer of pudding, and then make the salad on top of it. Mm-mm. So there are a few bites in before they hit the pudding middle, you know?
No, Jesse, that is
Emily,
disgusting.
You're talking about
Jesse,
the same.
That is.
That's what
an
pudding
incredibly
cheese,
different thing.
And that's terrible.
Pumpkin spice.
But listen, I'm
no,
just
that's
gonna
what
say,
you do if you put that on the charcuterie
board. I'm just
going to
say this because I love y'all. And when I say y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm going to say this specifically, white women. Y'all cannot put pumpkin spice on everything. I love y'all. I love, look.
Derek, they disagree.
I mean,
I'm just going to speak for them.
I hear you. I have to live my truth. That's all I'm going to say.
Look, I'm just saying.
I can't disagree,
spice,
though.
Goat cheese that's a wild thing. Like, I'm like,
that's what I'm saying. I run into that on a charcuterie board in the wild. It's not, you know, dinner.
I'm not saying it's going to be the greatest thing. I'm saying I would buy it and try it. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm not. It's not an immediate nasal prank.
Hey, that Relevant bag is great because I'm like, yo, I only got a limited amount of money to spend. I'm not finna buy no pumpkin spice goat cheese, dog. I'm gonna keep it real with you.
I was gonna say when people look at the fall of modern Babylon, they're gonna. It started with pumpkin spice goat cheese. They went too far. They played God.
It's only so far you can just go.
Don't do that.
Pumpkins and cheese were never meant to intertwine.
The lattes, I was with that. The creamers, I'm with that. You know what I'm saying? Pumpkin spice, the little cheesecakes, I'm with that. Now we going on into the goat cheese. Mm-hmm. We can't do that.
Oh, it's going way past that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Kristen McCaslin says that she bought pajamas at a grocery store once. At Kroger specifically. I had no idea that Kroger sold pajamas.
Wait a second. There's a big Kroger?
Like, is there a Kroger that's like super Walmart that they have non groceries there?
Yeah. Yeah. You can buy like clothes. You can buy like patio furniture. You can buy.
No.
See, you go get your.
You lying, Emily Brown. This gotta be in Texas.
There's one in my hometown. But yeah, like you can buy tons of stuff. There's like a whole section that's like lifestyle things, whatever.
Texas, yeah, doing like a bunch too of clothes much. And stuff. Texas, doing
everything's
too
bigger.
I've
in
seen
Texas.
Pajamas at like Rite Aid before. when I see like Rite Aid pajamas, I get curious. Like you ever go down, you walk in a Rite Aid, and like in our aisle they have some random sweatshirts and like flannel pants, and you just are very curious about who made the trip to Rite Aid today and walked out with three new Hanes sweatshirts and some flannel pants. Along with their
It's people that shop at Rite Aid. Like they got a basket, they going up and down every aisle. Like Rite Aid got a, you know, they about 62 years old, but you know, they there.
Yeah, can one of y'all read the William Hahn one? I can't pronounce that word, so I'm not gonna try.
William Hahn.
I don't think anyone can. Spicy dried caterpillars at a gas station.
The next line.
Mm.
Ooga-doo-goo?
Caviar of the Sila?
It's a haul.
No, not that. The next
William
line.
William Hahn is a traveler. We're just going to say
the
that.
Because he said
William Hahn bought spicy dried caterpillar.
At a gas station in Oogla Boogla, and he had them with IMB, SBC president, and Dr. Paul Chitwood, and they ate them. Listen, I don't know why y'all did that, but, you know, I'm praying for y'all. It's probably
spicy
better,
dried caterpillar.
Probably tasted better than pumpkin spice.
Okay, no.
Doodoo cheese.
A caterpillar, a bug. You would rather eat a bug than goat cheese.
Yes, spicy. Yes, because you could put hot sauce on everything, but not pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
Anna Lauren said she bought bacon soda once. So
that anyway, sounds
there's
awful.
More where that came from.
Bold choices.
Go check them out. All right, it's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
So for this week's question of the week, we want you to ask us your question of the week. So this is an Ask the Cast edition of the feedback segment. So hit us up, just ask us anything, and we will answer them on next week's show. Could be life questions, you know, balloon questions, revival, whatever you want to know. Hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast. And also you can message us on Instagram at Relevant Magazine. And we will we'll do it next week. I like these. These are some of my favorite episodes when they send in questions. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Daniel Rivera from SEU Worship for joining us. Make sure to check out the article we did with them and four other kind of emerging worship groups. It's a great little roundup that we did over at relevantmagazine.com. It's right there. You can find it on the front page. Also, while you're at the site, make sure to check out Relevant Plus. It's our best way to experience our content. You can get this podcast ad-free. You get ad-free reading at relevantmagazine.com, unlimited reading as well. You get a special subscriber podcast, and you get a beautiful ad-free enhanced edition of our quarterly digital magazine. There's more stuff in the pipeline for this year as well. Plans start as little as $250 a month. If you're annoyed by ads and you want to support our work, Relevant Plus is right there. You can find out more by clicking the tab there at relevantmagazine.com. Okay, on that note, we will wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Derek Miner.
We will see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
I think we put Stapleton in the fighter jet.
Relevant Podcast Network.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.